What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Financially Free Friday episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. It's Megan, your host, and I've got some party guests with me today. I have Scotty, one of our SLP wealth advisors. He's been here before with me, talked about a couple different things. And I also have a special guest, Justin, who today's episode is going to be crucial in schooling me in particular on how we can lean on resources available to us within the government to help us with problems that we're having with federal agencies, federal financial topics. So this could be related to like the IRS, the CFPB, the Department of Education. That's something we talk about a lot here. The SBA, and I'm talking about constituent services. So welcome to the podcast, Scotty, and welcome, Justin. I would love, Justin, for you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and we could jump into things.
Hi, I've been working with SLP Wealth for just over about a year and a half, and really enjoying it. I look over a lot of our business processes and admin team. So on the back end, you probably received an email from me asking to clarify some details about your billing or answer any quick questions that you have that are not super financial related. I'm always happy to help. And my background comes from studied business in school for a while, as well as economics and trade, and really fell in love with the government. And you know, you might say that's something weird, right? Working with the government, bureaucracy. Well, it helps to keep things organized. And I worked for one of my senators here in Florida, as well as a couple different Congress people in my home districts, and learned a ton about how to really help people. And in that process, you know, throughout that time, you can imagine managing, right, like student loans that, right, we most all have, I have. We needed to get a plan called Travis, did a consult with Travis, got me hooked. I just stayed on the emails forever and landed a job. And it's been a great move here. Loved it. And now I'm helping people on the other side. And a lot of what I contribute is helping people get clear answers. And one of those ways today, right, is working with the government, which is everyone's thing they hate to do, but one of the most important things that you can be good at to get help.
Yeah. I just want to take a second to say like how unbelievably grateful we are for Justin and his team.
Oh, yes.
Sort of herding all of the cats and making sure the trains kind of run on time. If it weren't for folks like Justin and his team, we would all have way more gray hairs and much higher blood pressure than we already do. So Yes, he's amazing. But yeah, the sort of idea behind this podcast was really, how do we utilize those resources that might not be immediately evident to like your average student loan borrower, for instance, or an average client that's having issues with some other sort of subset of the federal government. And it turns out there is a co-equal branch of government that is your representative, literally your representative. And there's a process for which utilizing those people can really be very, very, very helpful. And Justin was one of those people that got to help people. So it's great to hear, have him here to be able to kind of give from the trenches sort of, hey, this is how the sausage gets made. And here are some best practices about how best to utilize these folks to make their job of helping you as easy as possible.
Yes, that's very well said. What's also kind of cool is, so Justin found us through being on the newsletter and worked with Travis on his student loan plan. And Scotty, you were the same, right? You were on our newsletter and Travis told you to, hey, go get your CSLP. Go get your CFP if you're interested in financial planning. And you did, right?
I did that, yes. Basically, just do what people that are smarter than you tell you to do. And you'll go pretty far in this world. Yeah.
Because you also came from government, which is interesting. You worked at the water district.
Yeah, I was, well, it's probably my third career, actually. But like the...
right.
Yeah, my most recent previous career to financial planning was working as an environmental scientist at a large water agency, at a local municipal water agency.
Yeah. So both of you guys have a lot more government knowledge than I do. So thanks for joining. So let's get into what constituent services are. What is this resource? And it's helpful to start with maybe the duties of what constituent services have. One, they act like a liaison between state departments, agencies, and private companies to resolve constituent issues. They can answer questions and they can address concerns. What they do is they develop and manage relationships with government agencies and elected officials' offices. And they could be seen as a community-based organization to help resolve constituent cases. if you're having a problem, let's say with a federal agency, so let's say it is the IRS or the CFPB or Department of Education is the most common one that we've talked about on this podcast, or the SBA, which SBA you may have heard a lot more about like back during COVID times. If we're having an issue that you need help with and you've already tried to resolve this on your own by going to that entity and by trying to resolve this issue and you're not getting anywhere, this is where you can request the assistance from Constituent Services. And their office can help you if something is not done when it should have been done, if there has been some errors that need to be corrected that have not been corrected, there's not a response from like the entity you're having an issue from, or you're not given clear information about how to maybe resolve an issue. And I'm sure you could go a lot deeper into what Constituent Services can offer and how they could be a resource. But is that a pretty good overview, you think, of just generally how you think about Constituent Services?
Yeah, it's a solid high-level overview. And, you know, there's a few things like when we drip down and look into how does an office work and how can you work with that office to save yourself time and get the best results. That's what I really want to share today. So having managed a team right on the Senate and the House side, leading this type of effort, there are a few things that you should always do whenever you need help, because they're there to help you, but you also have to help yourself to help them help you, if that makes sense. The first piece is know your issue. Let's just use an example of student loans, because probably most all of us here and talking right listeners have student loans. I have an issue with my student loan. Let's say you're not getting some type of credits appearing that you wanted to appear. You know the issue inside and out, and you know who handles that. In this case, right, the Department of Education is the government agency that aligns with that. You know it's not the state Department of Education. If it's a state issue, you need to be going to your state representative or your state senator. So that's the first step. Is it a state or a federal issue? So in this case, we know it's a federal issue because it's with the Department of Education. So you have probably already filled out the steps, done the steps that you needed to do. You've filed a complaint, right? If you were unable to call them successfully, escalate to a supervisor, get your issue resolved, advocated for yourself. If you submitted a complaint, gotten a poor response or an uneducated, let's say, response, then you could accelerate, go ahead, maybe contact the CFPB if it applies there. And then from there, go ahead, document that. And now it's time to reach out to your congressperson. Now, question is, which congressperson do you reach out to, right? You have two senators and a federal House member. In many cases, the largest offices that have the most budget to help you is one of your senators. They usually have one large constituent services office, usually around 30 people that work there in a major city in your state, not always the capital. Like I live in Florida. Our biggest office is in Orlando. We had 37 people working there. And within Orlando, in that office, all the casework goes to them. So you submit whatever you need assistance with. You should always submit it to the largest state office so that they're able to help you directly. You call DC, they'll help you, but we're just going to resend it down to the state office. And then from there, they're going to triage your issue, right? There's other people that are dealing with like critical emergencies or like different types of emergency assistance. And they'll get back to you. They'll ask you to fill out some forms, maybe sign a release, provide more information. And the best thing you can do in this process is assume the person you're talking to doesn't know anything about your issue, doesn't know anything about student loans. Because many times these could be interns that are just wanting experience in a congressperson's office, or they could be low-level staffers that just graduated college, maybe they're just getting their first sense of business experience and don't really know the issues, but they do know who to contact or who to work with to help you. So present it in layman's terms with all the evidence you can. They'll package that up. And then each office has a liaison with each government agencies. So in this case, the Department of Education has a liaison assigned to each state or region, depending on where you live. They'll contact that person, and now they're incentivized to help you get this resolved because, well, now you have your congressperson there. And if it doesn't get resolved, I've been on the end where we've worked on issues and it didn't get resolved, and the congressperson says every morning, what's the status? What are the most dated types of constituent services cases we have? Okay, get me on the phone with the assistant secretary of the Department of Education, and we're going to get this fixed. So not every congressperson's like that, of course, but the staff can help you get to that point to get you an answer. So in a nutshell, that's the best advice that I can share and the inner workings of how the process actually lives and breathes right in our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I can just give a brief, how did this actually affect a real live student loan borrower? I had a client that had been asked to recertify their income ahead of one of the income recertification dates that inevitably got pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
And we had gone through all of those processes, like Justin had just outlined. We had called the servicer multiple times, both of us on the phone with the person, reading off the Department of Education's FAQs about how to deal with this particular issue. We had put in an ombudsman request at the Department of Education and just went nowhere. And then finally, I was like, well, let's try constituent services. We didn't see the magic happen behind the door. So I can't say for 100% that that was the case, that constituent services was like the thumb on the scale. But this had like a pretty material effect to the tune of like several hundred dollars a month of this person's budget that mm-hmm. now they were able to hang on to because of the recertification date being pushed out a whole nother year. You know,
mm-hmm.
this particular person happened to be in Southern California, pretty liberal member of Congress. But I've also had clients, like, that's the beautiful thing about SLP Wealth is we work with people all over the country. I've had clients that are in pretty conservative districts in other parts of the country and had similar results for reaching out to those people. And that was like really the beautiful thing that I came away and why part of the reason I wanted to do this is because they're really good people that are just trying to do right by the people that sent them to Washington. And it's hard to ignore when like an actual real person is saying, hey, I'm having a real problem. This is actually really affecting my life. And people on both sides of the aisle have a lot of empathy when it's like talking to a real life person that has issues in their community, right? And they really did want to help from both instances.
It's a really good point that you bring up, Scotty, and is that, you know, many people that I talk to through email, right, in our firm, you know, friends, they say, well, Justin, I'm part of this specific party, like, is so-and-so member of Congress going to help me? Of course they're going to help you, right? We don't ask, right, what party you belong to. We don't ask what your income is. Frankly, it doesn't matter. The congressional offices, they do want to help you. And you hear a lot of different stuff on TV one way or the other. But when it comes down to these like more local level or like constituent-based matters, they'll take care of you. Doesn't matter what they're saying on TV or not. If you disagree with what maybe they're saying, reach out to the senator maybe that you more align with. You're going to get the same outcome more or less, but it's super important. And I'll tell you a quick story. When, you know, I was in Florida, one thing we worked a lot on, as you can imagine, is like hurricane emergencies.
Mm-hmm.
We would get inundated with requests, like, help me with this government agency. We need this grant. We need this relief. And we had a blueberry farmer. Yeah, for all you blueberry farmers out there, this is really important to learn something here. In the center of Florida, we grow a lot of blueberries. And this farmer came out and said, look, I've been trying to get relief for the last 18 months from Hurricane Irma. What can I do? What's the problem? We get this. We say, this is ridiculous. Why hasn't this person gotten an answer? And it got escalated all the way up to this big meeting with the Secretary of Agriculture. We ended up talking to him with the congressman. We found out through their attorneys that it was based on the definition of what the diameter of a blueberry bud is. So per like federal regulations, had to be at least an inch. Well, in Florida, right, the hurricane hit, these blueberry buds hadn't grown past an inch of diameter yet. Luckily, this really lit up the congressman and he fought it and we got a regulation changed to redefine the diameter of a blueberry bud.
Wow.
That's the real magic that you'll never read about, you'll never hear about, no one will ever talk to you about. But that's what all of our members are doing every day, really, and their teams.
Wow. That's a really good example. I'm sure you've got plenty of stories like that. And it is just like you said, Justin, like when you're not getting answers. And I think that's what a lot of our student loan borrowers are frustrated with, because there are so many things that have delayed responses from servicers, from the Department of Education on things like just getting PSLF payment counts updated. It's not super clear if they're totally done with updating your payment count, unless it's really hard to know, like, when are they done with something that you requested them to do months ago, and it's taking them months to take care of. And so we do see a fair share of complaints getting submitted to FSA, like through the FSA complaint system. The ombudsman group doing the PSLF reconsideration option to get them to reconsider payment counts being updated for PSLF. Like, there's a lot of little avenues that the Department of Ed has on its own website, but the lack of response can sometimes be the reason that you need to be using constituent services to kind of light a fire under somebody, because that's exactly what it sounds like you did there, Justin, is light some fires to get somebody to pay attention to your issue and not keep throwing it under the bottom of stack of the papers that people have to get through, you know, in their day-to-day if they're working at the servicers.
Well, I wanted to add one more thing. In order for the strongest fire to be lit, it's always important to share deadlines or to share dates that you need things done by, because the first thing we would do, well, imagine an office, right? Every congressional district has about 1.8-ish million people that reside in that district. Wow. Doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not, right? Where the district helps you. So about 1.8 million. And at any given time, I think we had 1,000 constituent services cases running. Generally in a house office, you have about a team of 3.5. I say half because we do hire, like in the district I worked in, we had a lot of veterans, and we hired a part-time veteran who helped with those types of claims. So you have about 3.5 people triaging these. So we have to have a way to prioritize. So, right, share a date, share why it's important to you, say thank you, and make sure that you are giving them everything they need as quickly as you can. Otherwise, right, things do get lost in the shuffle. Mm-hmm. I can share a quick story with that. Like, luckily I worked for a district where, I lived, was born and raised there. So I'd have people call, and, you know, one of our staff would take the call and they'd be like, I need to talk to Justin. So I'd say, sure, you know, so-and-so definitely, like, I'll take the call. We talk to them and, right, be a human, right? They share a story. In this case, I hate to keep barking down the agriculture side, but we grew a lot of oranges in our district too. One of our local orange farmers that, you know, had over 150 acres of orange trees got hit with some major issues that made the trees very sick. And as you can imagine, it's very important that your trees stay well maintained and are able to be bearing fruit, right? So you make money and that we can keep providing citrus to other parts of the country. He calls up and he says, hey, we need some specific data, right, from the Department of Agriculture to be able to work on some different forecasts. So there are requests that you can make that are also more focused on helping with problems you may not even think are within scope, but we have the resources generally to help. One of the really cool things is we live near a large lake, the second largest freshwater lake in the country. So Scotty, right, with your environmental services hat on, we worked with a lot of people on water quality issues. And the same thing, right? They'd give us a call. They'd say, hey, we need to know how fast the water can flow, to put it in layman's terms, right? How fast the water can flow to make sure that we are making sure, like, beach erosion isn't happening. And we'd have people, like, send us water samples. So once you connect with these people and they're on the ground, you can make friends. That's the point of this, right? Mm. You can make friends. You can help them help other people. And that was something that I always enjoyed, where I could become an expert on freshwater or on oranges, and then share that knowledge with other offices so that they could also help people. So as someone calling in and asking for help or sending a letter in many cases or an email, you're educating them almost as much as they're helping you, so you can help others. So if that's a passion of yours like it is ours, then that's something else you can contribute, right, to help the entire system.
Mm-hmm. Just from a logistical question, you mentioned the House representative and the Senate representative. If you had an issue, would you bring it to both of your members of Congress simultaneously, or would you just skip straight to the Senate office and let those folks with the bigger office and more resources kind of spearhead the response?
So I would definitely not do that. If you submit multiple complaints of the same issue, right, it's going to clog up the system. Things are going to get mismatched, and it's the same thing. We would have people do that thinking, right, this is super effective, but then we'd have one senator working on it, my House member working on it, and then we talk to each other, right? It's a small community. If you have 3 in every House office and about 30 or so in every Senate office, small community. And then they'll say, oh, we're both working on this. Okay, who wants to take it? But now we've probably delayed 1 to 2 weeks figuring out who's going to take it, waiting for one person to send us another email. So I always say, reach out to the senator you prefer or maybe you think does a better job, because they have the most resources. They have a lot bigger budget to run their offices. They generally carry more power, right? Because there's fewer of them. Reach out to them. But if you live in a very, let's say, like tight-knit community or really like your House member, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to them instead.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's really helpful. I love that you're explaining this also as like you're the liaison, like you're not the expert in the topic, because that's impossible. They're going to be emailing or writing about a variety of different issues, and there's no way for you to be the expert on all of these things. But you can gather enough information and gather enough resources, like you're saying, to help move the needle. So with that being said, what happens if there is a situation where somebody has a problem that can't be resolved? Is there ever a point where like we can't move the needle for some reason, or we're at a wall even going this route with constituent services?
One thing I always turn to is, you know, we'll take the example of freshwater. Obviously, I'm not a, you know, an ecologist. I don't know tons about freshwater. There's this great resource called the Congressional Research Service that you have access to a PhD pretty much in every single topic. Think of them like a, you know, an expert on call. So I could email them and say, here's this case, here's this issue we're working on. Can you help me? And you either set up a phone call, they send you a long report on that matter, and then you educate yourself or at least get specific answers so you can help with others. So that's one piece of the puzzle. But like directly, as long as it's a federally focused matter, you will either get a concrete explanation why something cannot be done. Sometimes it would be stating a federal law saying at this time, this is not possible due to this specific law, and there's no further assistance we can provide. Or it may end up with you actually getting on a phone call with a constituent services worker who then puts you in touch with like one of these liaisons. And if it's a more complicated matter, like think like Social Security in some cases, right? You're going to speak to an expert. But the most important thing is that in your file, they have your little box check that you have like some congressional support behind it. So in a way, you're like the secret VIP, because you don't want to ever upset the congressperson, because then the congressperson could end up calling and having you looked into for not providing the right types of services that you maybe should be, right? It's not a good look. So you'll get an answer. It may not be what you want, right? Or what you want to hear, but you will get a concrete answer. And then from there, right, you'll know your options.
How long does it typically take for answers? I'm sure it probably depends on the matter.
It depends. Sometimes you'll get a form letter back right away. Like, let's say you send me one about student loans. Let's say me, intern in the office, knows nothing about student loans. You may get a form letter that you'll be able to tell. That'll say, like, dear constituent, we've received your request. Here's some generic info about student loans. Just know this is like the first way you have to filter through 1,000 requests for 3.5 people, right, in most cases. So if you reply back to that professionally and delicately with more information, many times that next step, it lands on a staffer's desk that covers that within their portfolio. So you land on the education desk, depending on is Congress in session, is Congress shut down, are there budget concerns, right? Depending on the flow of Congress, it may take 2 weeks, it may take 2 months. It will take time, but you'll get an answer, and generally they update you along the way. Or you can always call the local office and say, I just want to check on my status of this case. And they'll usually tell you, but it's a small team. They work hard, but there's a lot of very urgent matters, right, that we're also taking care of in tandem.
The sort of takeaway that I'm coming away from this with is putting a face to an issue is a really powerful thing. And genuinely, people want to help each other. We've got a system in place in this country where even if it's bureaucratic and it can be convoluted, it can be like feel bigger and sort of insurmountably huge to deal with issues, that we do have processes in place that kind of more or less sort of work most of the time. And it's just reassuring. And for whatever reason, it just like makes me feel a little more warm and fuzzy about this big crazy world that we're in, knowing that today to day, people are like trying to do the best for the people that they can help, which is like what we're all doing here at Student Loan Planner. It's why we're such a service-driven organization here. It's like helping individual people as best we can. So just want to say thank you again to Justin.
Definitely. Thank you, Justin, for sharing your insights. And I think just opening up this conversation, because it does seem like a little bit of a mystery. And it does feel like you're just such a small person to where like what you do doesn't matter, your problems don't matter, but they can. And they can be something that you get help with. And this is a great example. I'm literally thinking of a couple clients right now where if some of our complaints that I know are going through the system right now don't get resolved or we don't get responses, that I've got this in my back pocket now. So this is better equipping me as an advisor to help folks like know their options too. So I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on today and chatting with us.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. Be nice to the admin email. It's probably Justin responding to you. You do an amazing job of that. You really show compassion with your responses. And I think student loans in particular are such a, it can generate such an emotional response sometimes because you're probably not getting what you need from the servicer or you're trying to get to the right result with your student loan situation. And it can feel so big and it can be so big. And we're here to help with the student loan piece, with the wealth building piece, the financial planning piece. So reach out if you need some help with these things. Thanks so much again, Justin, for joining. Thanks, Scotty, for coming in as well.
You're welcome.
Any parting words before I close it out?
Any help you need with this, right? Talk to your planner. If you're an SLP Wealth client, happy to work with them to help you get help from your offices. It's always a passion.
Thank you. And thanks for being a resource. Well, awesome. I hope everyone has a lovely weekend coming up, and I will catch you on the next one.
What if you could get fiduciary financial planning specific to your profession that's student loan aware that could change your life for a price much better than you ever dreamed possible? If that sounds good to you, go to slpwealth.com/pod for a free, no obligation 15-minute intro call with one of our own fiduciary financial planners to see if we could be a good fit for you. This podcast is for informational, educational, and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered individualized investment advice. If a specific investment is mentioned, do not consider it a recommendation to buy or sell the investment. Seek first advice from a financial professional before implementing any strategies discussed. All investments involve risk, and past performance does not guarantee future results. Yay, compliance.